the mentality nowadays of modern Christianity, I told you on Wednesday night, is to look in Jeremiah 23, is to get people to listen to somebody's tone of voice as opposed to what's being said, like dogs. And I gave you that as an illustration. Modern teachers and preachers are very, very smooth, and they're slick speakers, and they're the best. The devil has the best preachers. Now they're starting to come out and be made known to you, made where you're more able to see it. You have some of the very well-known preachers and evangelists and stuff like that that have been around for a while that are now all of a sudden coming out. You have a fellow in Texas named Hagee, I told you about the other day, that has said that the Messiah was not for the Jew. Now, you should have known something a long time ago when you saw that guy coming up. He was used to be a prosperity preacher, and he's a full-blown, full gospel, speak in tongues, all that other stuff, and everybody ignored it because he's a good preacher and that kind of a thing. And they thought, well, you know, he's got great graphics and so on and so forth. He's the one that came out with all your blood moons and the horses of the apocalypse. None of the stuff he's written has come true, and people keep buying his stuff. Now I already know what you're thinking. Now, preacher, you shouldn't be calling people out like that. Well, the Apostle Paul did, and so did Jesus. And so if you don't want to call them out because you want to be friends with everybody, then that's you. You do whatever you want to do. You have the wrong slant on biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity does not get along with everybody. You have the wrong idea that we just love everybody. We just love. No, what you're saying is that I don't want to stand for anything because I don't want to affect my reputation. You don't have enough Bible in your brain to know what God would do. God would not hang out with some of the people you hang out with, and God wouldn't listen to them preach like you listen to them preach. You have another fellow down there in Texas. Texas is a bit of a breeding ground for it. His name is Jakes. Comes from a holiness Pentecostal background. And he went way to the opposite extreme on things. He's a real, real good preacher. And then he's gotten real involved in psychiatry and psychology. And he would still break off and speak in tongues and stuff. That should have been a clue to you. You should have thought, now, if that's wrong, then maybe I should, you know, perk up my ears. I should maybe listen, no matter how good he is. And then recently came out on the thing when it came to same-sex marriage and homosexualities and said, and I'll quote it as close as I can, "My position on homosexuality is ever changing and progressing." Oh, okay. Well, the guy's got 30,000 people in his church every Sunday. He must be a success, and I must be the one that's wrong. Because, you know, well, you ain't even got a tenth of that. How come you know, what's the deal going on there? He must be right. You have a guy that's downtown, and now all of a sudden he's changed his position on the Bible and gotten theologically very smart, and now he has the ability to tell you where the people that translated the King James Bible made their errors and mistakes. And so you find you a Bible that's easiest for you to understand. Hey, stupid, I don't care how many doctor's degrees you got, the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, they are spiritually discerned, neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. You don't have a Bible rewritten so you can, quote, understand it. When you don't understand it, you keep reading until you do. You're not God. You don't get it the first time. You stay after it. Preacher, you're a little bit edgy. This stuff makes me edgy. I'm wore out with Christians nowadays that are trying to constantly push me into this. You got to learn to like everybody. No, I do not. That's not biblical. I love them, I pray for them, and that kind of thing. But this jam everybody together and get everybody together that doesn't have anything in common. I'm supposed to understand how they feel about things. No, I'm not. I go by the Bible. I get wore out with that. You get pressure like that all the time. And then what happens is that you've heard this stuff long enough. Don't you know that the way the devil works, the Antichrist works, is to get everybody together under a common banner of love. Let's get under the rainbow. That's what happened in Noah's day. Everybody got under the rainbow. Right. Hey, stupid, it was judgment. Right. It wasn't love. The greatest act of love that God showed in that particular day was to take out all the kids before they got corrupted by their parents and their grandparents. Now, don't choke. We're just getting started. You mean to tell me? Yeah, I mean to tell you exactly that. The greatest act of love God showed was when He destroyed every person that was there. Same thing for Sodom and Gomorrah, Admon and Zeboah. Well, He burned all them people. Yeah, He saved all them kids. All them kids didn't grow up and wind up being that way. One of the worst things in the world is for a kid to grow up without hope and without God and then have a bunch of parents drive them that much further away, like some of you do. I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. I guess you don't really care about them at all. That's just the truth of the matter. You just, well, let's just let everybody get along. That's just, you should just get along. Where is that in the Bible? You know what the Lord said? Would he be a good example? Would the Lord be a good illustration? You know what the Lord says? I got enemies. Question, where's yours? How come it is that they don't like me, but they like you? What is that? Well, because, Lord, you're too strict, you're too strenuous, you're just too hard, you're just too serious, you're just, you need to calm down, chill out, relax a little bit. You're just too wired for sound. Really, you going to tell the Lord that? That's what you tell your friends. Look at this thing in Jeremiah, chapter 23. This thing's been going on for a long period of time. This idea that nowadays when a preacher stands up and tells you what the Bible says, that it's counted as hate literature. Everybody that says peace, you look for a war. Leave your finger in Jeremiah and come to Psalms. I'll show you that. Everybody that says peace, you're looking for war. Let's see, it'll be Psalms, it'll be about 28, Psalm 28. They say love, they're ready to kill you in the name of love. They talk about liberty, and I'll show you this when I can get to it a little bit later on. They talk about liberty, they're fixing to restrict you and put you in jail. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to be rough or harsh with you, but it's time for some of you to put your baby bottle away and get out of your diapers and grow up. You are in the last days. If you're so blind you can't see it, I'm telling you now, you are in the last days. You're not just because your nation is in trouble. You're fixing to face your Creator. And I got news for you. When you hit the judgment seat of Christ, you Christians, you saved people, are not going to say, well, at least I'm saved. He's liable to slap your teeth down your throat. You're not going to get up there in front of the Lord and say, well, at least I made it. Just give me a little cabin on the backside of nowhere and we're just going to love from now on. No, you ain't. Paul says, terror of the Lord. Now, what's the matter? I'll tell you what you are. You got a backbone like a jellyfish. You're like trying to nail jello to the wall. You can't stand for a man to stand in the pulpit and tell you that you're wrong. So you know what you do? Your yellow belly is a day is long. You go out and talk about any preacher that stands up and tells you the problem's you. Well, I just won't go there anymore. I feel worse when I go there than when I came. Then get right with God. Don't blame the preacher. The problem's you. Jam me together with people, manipulate me, using me. You're not a very good Christian because you don't want to hang out with people that are living like dogs. No, I don't want to get fleas. I'm not hanging out with people like that just to soothe your conscience. Well, you know, you have to learn to be gracious with people. I'm being gracious. The best thing for me to do is not to be around it. I'll ruin your party. You say, why? I'm not like you and just going to keep my mouth shut. You don't open your mouth. You won't say a word or they wouldn't be inviting you to the party. Oh, God, here he comes. Oh, man, here he comes. What'd you invite him for? Don't say nothing and I'll be fine. But don't expect me to quote your quote, be a good Christian and keep my mouth shut when you're sticking me all the time. I'm not going to shut up. Now, just because you're backslidden as the day is long, and just because you've got no fellowship with Jesus Christ, that has nothing to do with you. That's why you keep your mouth shut. You're more comfortable around the world and people that don't believe in God than you are in church. What are you so uncomfortable for in church? Why can't you open your mouth? I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. He died for you. He saved you. He's looking for a return on his investment. And you can't talk about him? No, you're nervous right now as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, as a preacher used to say. You look like you got bees in your britches. You can't stand it. It's just eating you up right now. Well, preacher, Sunday school, you know, I mean, give us a chance to kind of get in the flow. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you got up this morning, got you a cup of coffee, read your Bible and prayed and asked God to do something for you today. Well, but I didn't expect him to do that. Now, I know you expected ice cream this morning and a piece of pie so you can walk out. You got so much sugar in you right now, you already got spiritual diabetes. you need a good shot of insulin to snap you out of it. Look in the book of Psalms. You think everybody that says this peace and safety and this, hey, let me let you in on the inside track, and boy, I know some things. You know what your problem is? You're a coward. You're a coward. You're under conviction. And whoever's listening to you has the same problem you do, or they wouldn't be listening to you. Birds of a feather flock together. You get out on your Twitter or your text or your internet or on use your phone or whatever and buddy and pal up to somebody because you're under conviction and now you're talking. You ever wonder why they're listening to you? Because they're just like you or you wouldn't be talking to them. Spirits make a connection there together. But you ain't got the discernment God gave a billy goat. Psalms 28. You ain't got any spiritual discernment at all. None. You're blind as a bat spiritually. You think you know everything. You're proud and arrogant. When's the last time you asked God what He thought about who you're with? I know why you don't ask Him. I'll tell you why you don't ask Him. You know why? Because you already know the answer. Big, bold, I'm a man. Really? Well, why don't you walk away from Him? Because you ain't got no backbone, that's why. Well, preacher, you know, you'll never have no friends like that. I got plenty of friends like that. Amen. That walked away from the other stuff. That's why we're friends. Amen. If I got to be your friend by hanging out with the crowds you keep, then I ain't your friend. I already read your mind. That's just not very Christian. How can you say that and you hadn't even read your Bible through one time in 50 years? How can you claim to be an expert on spirituality and you haven't even read your Bible on a daily basis? How can you say that when you got a prayer life that wouldn't blow the fuzz off of a peach? How can you say that? How can you sit in judgment? You got no. That's like having a judge sit on the bench. He's never been to law school. How is it when you come to church, you all of a sudden think you're some kind of spiritual guru or something? You haven't got any spiritual sense at all. You say, well, you don't read the Bible. You read the cotton-picking newspaper. You watch the news and you get all your theology from CNN and Fox. You don't know nothing about the Bible. You say, well, preacher, I just think, well, we don't really care. Do you have the Bible? Give me some Bible. Well, it's not my job to know the Bible. Your job to know the Bible. Okay, then if it's my job to know the Bible, what are you doing correcting me with it? Amen. You got the Bible? Then use it. Amen. Everybody that runs their mouth like that, I know one thing right off the bat. You hadn't had your noses in the pages of that book, your knees bent and your head bowed in so long. You're walking around, boy, you got a strut in your step, boy, and you got your head up there in the clouds so high, I mean so far, that if it were to rain, it'd drown you. You just you're a fringer. You want to be in, quote, a Bible-believing church to make it look like you're something you're not. You don't believe the Bible. He said, give attention to reading. You don't. He said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a work needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You don't. He said, separate from them. What concord hath Christ with the Bible? What fellowship hath light with darkness? Wherefore come out from among them? You don't. And you going to come correct me? Oh, you think you're beyond correction? Shut up, stupid. I'm not above correction. Come to me with the Bible, not your opinion. Shut up, don't make me the bad guy because I speak from the Bible standpoint and tell you, you're the one with the problem. I'm not the one with the problem. Amen. Make me out to be the one. Jam me together with people. Manipulate me. Some family member you are, or some Christian you are. Here's a good one. Some preacher, some pastor you are. You must have been under some hireling. You hadn't been under a pastor. You hadn't been under a pastor that's worried about the sheep and keeping the cotton picking wolves off. You ain't been under that at all. You've been around somebody you can buy and sell. That's what you've been around. You've been around somebody that, oh yeah, yeah, man, oh yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what now, preacher, you know, you say what I want to say. And by the way, 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock now. I'm just telling you, you want me to come. 12 o'clock. You just got 12:30. Keep on talking. I'm like the judge that said, keep running your mouth, I'll hold you in contempt. And keep running your mouth, there's 100. Keep running your mouth, there's 200. I got plenty of time to hit that gavel. You just keep running your mouth. After $500, the guy said, okay, that's enough. Bam! There's another one. 600. But I said it's enough. Bam! There's another one. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? And it wore out with that stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And you think, you honest to God, you think you hadn't heard preaching in so long, you don't even know what preaching is anymore. All this tripe going on television and all this stuff going on the internet and all this love everybody and hug everybody and come to church for coffee and donuts and a big welcome center. Welcome, 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 welcome. Preacher, we got all these people coming and you're just thinking, run them out the door, man. I mean, okay, well good. It's about time they heard a real preacher at least once in their life. Oh, you're an egotistical maniac. What are you doing here for, and why would you say something like that? Any preacher that has any, you stand up like that for your sports team. You stand up like that for your family. You stand up like that for your money. You stand up like that for everything, for your country, for your political candidate, for whatever your prejudice is, for something that'll make you prosperous and line your pockets. But God help any preacher that stands up and says to you, I'm standing for Jesus, what about you? Oh, what an egotistical maniac. I just don't believe a preacher should talk that way. Well, why don't you be a preacher and show us how to talk then? I'll tell you why you won't, because you ain't got the backbone for it. You're living in a sloppy age where you are being made like something's wrong with you. There ain't nothing wrong with you if you're doing what God tells you to do, and stop letting them manipulate you by guilt. I don't care who they are. You stop being motivated and moved around because of what their opinion is. See what God says and stick with that. Psalm chapter number 28. Hear the voice of my supplication, verse 2. When I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands, we're talking about people that saying peace all the time and love all the time and let's just all get together and get away from me with all this get together stuff, huggy kissy stuff. I don't like that kissing stuff. Amen. You say, what is that? I already told you, that's not biblical. You say, well, greet one another with a holy kiss. Have you studied the word holy? And unless you are, then you ought not be kissing nobody that ain't your family. Amen. Well, it's just a matter of, you know, you're a pervert. Amen. Don't be kissing. Now, let me ask you a question. I've known Miss Robin for years. I go down there and kiss her on the cheek. You'd be thinking, now, wait a minute, preacher. What's up with that? I don't care if it offended her or not. TK would be like, preacher, now, hang on just a second now. I mean, I love you and you're my friend, but now we fixing to throw down. But it's all right if you do that stuff in church, ain't it? Why don't you do that stuff in the mall? Somebody be done knocked you out. What you do is impose on people because you're in church in the setting. It's like, well, I can go ahead and do it because they ain't going to say nothing to me. I will. Amen. You're not being gracious, preacher. Get away. Get away from me. I don't need that kind of stuff. I want to shake a man's hand. And when I talk to a woman, I shake her hand. There are a few that I know well enough to maybe get a little side hug or whatever. But it ain't this embrace and it ain't this hold and it ain't this, you know, oh, baby, you know, kind of stuff. You go to, amen, amen, amen. You want me hugging your daughter that way or kissing your daughter that way? Hey, this should be a sanctuary for girls to be able to come and women to be able to come without having to be accosted by you. Amen, amen, amen. You get wore out with that stuff. I don't understand it. And ladies, I don't understand why you allow it. I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute, man. What are you doing? Well, I mean, you know, just kind of, uh-uh. That's for my husband and my kids. That's right. You're too close. Too close. You got to get close to people. You know, we all got to be close to it. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? Who taught you that? All this socialization and we got to all run together and oh, I don't want to go over there. They got cliques and stuff like that. No, they don't. They have a group of individuals that don't want to be going to the places you go and doing the things you do. You want to be a part of the quote, clique, end quote, then stop fooling around with Flakebook. You ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it. You're going to blame the people that don't do it. You ain't going to quit watching that foolishness. You ain't going to quit going to them places. You're going to blame the people that they're not friendly because they're not hanging out with you. You mean they're not condoning your foolishness? You're going to blame them. You're a gossip. That's all you do is gossip. You say, why? You got no spiritual discernment whatsoever. None. You haven't got enough spiritual discernment to fill a thimble. You don't know anybody spiritual at all. I'm getting on this morning's sermon. Draw me not away, verse number 3, with the wicked and the workers of iniquity. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity. Draw me not away with the wicked and the workers of iniquity. David's praying, I don't want to go with them. Don't let me get drawn away by them. Don't let me get pulled into their foolishness. Watch it. How am I drawn away? Which speak peace to their neighbors. But what's in their heart? You just read it. They're saying peace, but on the inside, they're saying collaborate. They're saying get along. They're saying let's all... But mischief is in their heart. You're hearing peace, but the Bible says there's mischief in their heart. There's wickedness in their heart. They're saying the right thing, but the motive of them doing what they're doing, trying to get everybody together to do things in the name of peace, in the name of peace. Somebody's fixing to get killed. Somebody's fixing to get jailed. You say, what's going on? The problem is a heart problem. But they learned how to disguise it. And make it sound, we're just looking for world peace and we just want to have peace at all costs and all that. You never have peace at all costs. And you ain't going to have peace till the King of Peace comes. Amen. I'm wore out when I hear that. I'm not even talking about the world now. I'm talking about Christians. Why can't you get along with the Catholics? Because I don't believe like they do. Amen. Well, preacher, you know you have to learn to like them and understand them. No, I don't. They're sending people to hell. And it matters to me whether it matters to you or not. Well, why don't you get along with the charismatics? Because I've been spending too much time with independent Baptists that gossip all the time and they have a problem with that tongue. I don't want to have them do it in another language. Preacher, you need to get along with the they're all doing it. It's just church, you know. Maybe to you it's just church. To me it ain't church, it's a decision. To me, where I go shows whose side I'm on. It makes a serious decision. It's not like, well, you know, they go to church and they just go to church and it's a good thing because they go to church. Okay, well, let's just see when we play out at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. You spineless, backboneless wonder that you don't have any vision of eternity at all. You're not even thinking for a second about how they're going to play out when they get up there. Well, at least they're in church. What does that mean? At least they're not committing a crime. They're in church. At least they're being a good moral agent. What about their soul? What about their soul? What about eternity? It don't matter to you at all. Well, at least they're in church. You know what you just said? Here's what you said out of the mischief of your heart. You said peace. Well, now you shouldn't mess with them. Now at least they're in church. You should back off. What's the matter? You don't want them to go to church? No, I want them to go to the right church. Amen. Well, your church isn't the only church that there is. Okay. You're right. Got me there. But are you going to tell me that that is the total summation of your argument of justifying that they're going to the wrong church? Y'all ain't the only ones that got the truth. Okay, good. But you're still walking in falsehood. So can you just come out from that and go somewhere that has the truth? Why are we always blamed? You get a complex thinking you're always the problem. I'm telling you now, this is actually a positive message. I'm telling you right now, you're not the problem if you're living that way. You're not the hemorrhoid at every party. That's not you. You're doing fine. You really are. Why? Because you're finally standing up for something that's right. Now notice, he says, but mischief's in their heart. Here's David's prayer. Give them according to their deeds, according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands and render unto them their desert. Well, what's wrong with that? It's biblical. See, I don't understand that, preacher. They're in church and they're nice people and we should just learn to kind of just get along with them. And I mean, after all, if we don't, we're going to be isolationists. We're going to be separatists. And what will the people think about? I mean, they'll think we're so unkind and we're so unfriendly. Oh, okay. You know what? Let's compromise across the board so that we make sure that everybody likes us, because therein lies the epitome of success. Everybody likes me except Jesus. He loves you, but He don't like you. Well, but preacher, you can't pray for the workers to be regarded according to their iniquity. They didn't say anything bad. They said peace. Peace, love, and Woodstock, man. We're good. I mean, we're not here to cause any problems. We're not here to cause any trouble. I mean, we're nice people. Okay? The Bible said, don't bring the Bible in it. Why? Because it creates divisions. And you know what? We're not supposed to have divisions. We're supposed to love. You ain't read enough Bible to know what the word love means. And you're also putting yourself in the position of being able to have divine love for somebody. And you ain't Jesus. You got a perverted view of love. Love doesn't condone wickedness. Love doesn't turn a blind eye to things that are wrong just for the sake of its own skin. Love doesn't say, well, what will everybody think about me if I don't go and if I'm not doing what they want and if I don't take on the Hollywood style and do what everybody does? I mean, after all, I mean, what would the people think? I don't know what Jesus is going to think when you die. You don't care. You think you're going to live forever. Notice what he says, give them according to their deeds, according to the wickedness. Paul says in the Pauline epistles, he says about Alexander the coppersmith, he said, the Lord reward him according to his deeds. Preacher, you shouldn't pray in something like that. I mean, that's so unchristian. Have you read what the Lord said? Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, and those of you who by long prayers and fair speeches and fine words, you take widows' houses and turn them into paupers, and you make your followers a twofold child of hell. Amen. There's reserved for you a place called greater damnation. But you don't care. You're a carnal, lackadaisical, city-fied, city-slicker Christian. Your brand of Christianity is a stench in the nostrils of God. It has no doctrinal foundation. It goes with everybody and falls for everything. That's not biblical Christianity. Love everybody, love everybody, love everybody, and just ignore what's going on. Well, preacher, you know, you just don't have a realistic view of things. Well, we'll see one day. I'm tired of unsaved and saved people manipulating Christians for their own benefit and using your Christianity against you because you don't go play with them on Sunday. Well, I mean, church will always be there. Why can't you come with us to the game? Why can't you come with me to church? No, you ain't going to do that. You tell me you care about people, you won't invite them to church. What's the matter? Are you embarrassed? Well, preacher, I mean, I don't want them to hear you. I mean, what would they think of me if they know I come and let you yell at me like that? I mean, they would think I'm an intellectual imbecile to let you yell at me that way. I mean, they would think I'm just so unsophisticated and they would have, the wool would be pulled over there. I would lose my incognito ability to fool those people. They would think I'm just kind of some old dumb redneck, man. Let a preacher get up and yell at me like that. I wouldn't dare bring them here. No, I guess you wouldn't. But you'll sure make fun of me when I don't go hang out with them. You'll call me unchristian when I don't. Well, I'm going to return the favor. You're not a Christian when you won't tell them to hang out where you hang out. You're easily led. You call yourself a man or a woman of God. Well, I say baloney to that because you don't have enough backbone to say, I'm not going where you're going and doing what you're doing because it ain't right. I thought you were my friend. I thought you were my friend. Don't turn it on me. If you're my friend, why aren't you around my friends at church? Jesus is my friend. Amen. You get hauled up there in front of the Lord, say to your friends and stuff like that. Well, now, Jesus, they're nice people. They're nice people. They do so many things for other people. They're nice people. They go to such and such a church. You know, they kind of believe in you. You going to let them go, ain't you, Jesus? What are you looking around for? Are you looking around to see if somebody might disagree with you like you're disagreeing right now? Now all of a sudden you went. You're like Brother Mike. He had surgery. He's like, I can't turn my head right now. You just got locked in. You say, what is that? I've been doing this long enough to know when somebody's under conviction. And I know what you do, you snake. I know what you do. What you do is you jump out of the fire and you're looking for somebody to latch them lips onto. You're looking for somebody to come up and be an Absalom and kiss him in the gate and say, I don't like that. You know, he's overstepping a little bit. He's still a young whippersnapper. You're looking for somebody to latch onto. I know you. Boy, I know you. I've seen you for years and years and years. You can't wait to get out of here. You're scared to leave now. You know, we'll talk about you. You can't wait to get out of here and, you know, click, 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 click. I don't know what happened to him today. He's on Facebook again. Instagram, Snapchat, and all the other junk. Well, what's the problem? How come I'm the bad guy? Don't you ever get put in that position? No, some of you never get put in that position. You're never the bad guy. Everybody likes you. How come they're going to do this? How come the Lord's going to reward him according to the wickedness of their heart and soul, or their hands? Notice what he says, verse number 5, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. Lord, David, why should I destroy him? Because, Lord, they're not regarding you or the work of your hands. They think they're doing it all themselves. They think they're something special. They think they're the big cheese. They're the big so on and so forth. They don't regard you. David says, destroy them. How come, David? Because they're not regarding you and they're not regarding the work of your hands. You take the breath you breathe and use it for yourself and never use it one time to expel anything. You get ready to pray and it's, you know, a God is great prayer. Drop the napkin on the floor. You get ready to read the Bible. You can't give him your eyes or your mind. You can't give him your ears. You say, why? What's the Lord ever done for me? I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about you. Preacher, you're talking about the people down the road or people over so-and-so and people such and such. No, I'm talking about you. How come I should be destroyed? You don't regard the Lord. You don't regard the work of his hands. You're here today. Why? You know what the Lord says? Did you regard me when you made that decision? No, you made it in light of, well, everybody's going to like me and everybody's going to appreciate me and I don't really care. And can't you just keep your mouth shut and go along with the flow? Can't you just keep your mouth shut and be cool? Can't you just keep your mouth shut and can't you just settle down a little bit? No, you can. I can't. Why is that? Why is that? What's wrong with you? How come it's me that's a problem? Are your Christian friends that's a problem? It's you. You won't say nothing. Why not? You don't regard the work of his hands. You have a roof over your head because of God. You have legs to walk on because of God. You have eyes to see because of God. Nostrils to breathe because of God. You have teeth to chew because of God. You got a car to drive because of God. You've got your mental ability because of God. You ain't got nothing. You know, he says, no, I ain't regarding that. I can tell by your decisions you didn't even think about what I've done for you. I can tell by your decisions you made up your mind to be buddies with the world and friends with the world, and you just took me for granted. You could care less what I did for you. You're more interested in keeping peace in the family and keeping peace with your friends and making sure your pockets stay lined with your finances. You're more worried about the liberty that you got and the freedom you have and your ability to move around and do the worship the flesh and do the things you want to do. You didn't regard me at all. You didn't regard the work of my hands at all. That's the seed of sin right there. You're thinking of yourself. You're not thinking about me. You just took me for granted. That's God's job. He's supposed to die for me. You didn't stop to think about it. You didn't think at all if Jesus was right there with you. You honest to God, would you be doing what you're doing? Here, Jesus, have a seat. Here, Jesus, let me introduce you to my friends. Jesus, well, what are we doing here? You don't have friends in church?
That church is just so unfriendly and they're so unkind. And I just, that church, they're just not warm and inviting and loving and caring and concerned. And
these people are.
Yes, they are. They accept me for who I am. And I go there and that preacher, he's just like wound up all the time. It ain't like he ever backs off. It's like all the time, pedal on the metal, no brakes on the car. He is yelling and screaming and hopping up and down. Okay, I understand that. I get all that kind of a deal. But let me ask you a question. How come you have more friends in the world than you do at the church? Well, because the people of the church, the Christians, you know, they're just so unkind and they're just not open to all of these other things that should be, you know, that I think they need to be aware of. You know, other thoughts and other doctrines. I mean, they actually believe that they're right and everybody else is wrong. And they believe in one Bible. And they don't believe in evolution and all that other kind of... I mean, you know, they haven't explored Hinduism and Buddhism and learning to trip and get out of the frame and achieve oneness with God. And I just think they need to consider those things. We did, stupid. We realized how stupid it was. We don't want to deal no more. How come I'm the bad guy? You didn't come in here and try to befriend me. You didn't come in and try to befriend the people that have been here for years, that are my friends, that have been coming here for years. You didn't try to befriend them, but you don't think twice about blaming them. They don't call me. They don't talk to me. Neither does your family. Could it be that maybe there's something wrong with you? No, it wouldn't be that way. You mean you're not the most important thing? Hey, you know what? You go to work every day, and if you don't show up, they call you because it's like, how long before I fire you? You're there and they appreciate you being there because you do a job. When you quit doing that job, you are expendable. Yeah. If you come to church, it's like, well, they're just not friendly. They don't care about old people. What? How can you say that? Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. It means that what we're supposed to do is your impression of how you should be treated when you're here, not God's impression.
Yeah, right. That's right.
See, it's funny, and the older you get, the more you have a tendency to revert back to how you were when you were infant. What about me? What about me? What about him? What about him? What about him? Anybody complaining about him? Anybody complaining on his hand? Anybody advocating for him? Anybody, is he the one that's unfriendly? Is he the one, anybody advocating for him at all? No, it's all about you. That's false preaching. That's false teaching that is trying to set you up to just get along with everybody across the board. They've lied to you. You're the only one I've ever heard say something like that. Why, the audacity of you saying those good, here we go, godly individuals. Define it, please. They get along with everybody. They don't talk like you talk. Come to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Maybe they don't talk like I talk. But at least you know where I'm coming from. At least you're not sitting there thinking, what was he saying? What was he really trying to... I'm not real sure. What was his position on that? I mean, does he really believe there's only one way of salvation? Or is it kind of... Does he believe in the ordinances, the baptism and Lord's Supper don't save you and are not connected with... Does he... I'm not real sure. I mean, I think he said that there's many roads to heaven. No, there's many roads to hell. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way to enter into the gate. Enter ye at the straight gate. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What? Well, how narrow-minded to say that. I mean, the proper interpretation that would be is whatever way you think is the way to Him, that's the way to get there. That's Buddhism, that's Hinduism, that's pantheism, that's all the other kind of thing. That has nothing to do with Christianity at all.
That's right.
You either come to Jesus Christ as a sinner and trust Him to save you, or you go to hell.
That's right.
I believe that. I still preach that, and I'll preach that until they jail me and sew my mouth shut.
Amen.
You say, why? Because that's all that matters. Well, you can't say that. Well, I can say that. What I want to know is why can't you?
Right.
Why haven't you ever told your friends you care about and that you love and that you worry about that there's only one way to heaven?
And it ain't through stars or constellations, and it ain't through animals, and it's not through Hinduism and sitting cross-legged on the floor and saying a bunch of ohms, and it's not through doing a whole bunch of religious rhetoric. Why don't you tell them? I'll tell you why. You're yellow. You're self-preserving. You don't want to create a division on your friends that go to the other churches because you just don't want to be the one that you know, the Lord says, hey, can you get a little light out of you? Lord, not now. I mean, get it under the bushel for now. I don't want them to really know that I don't believe their doctrine. I mean, what would they think of me? I don't know. I'd be willing to bet you there's at least one or two in here that would be willing to stand, and I'm not asking for a show of hands, that might be willing to stand up and say, preacher, I didn't like it when you told me the truth. Sure, I'm glad you did. I'm glad I know now. I didn't like how you did it, and I didn't appreciate it then. Well, I sure am glad now. I bet you'll be real glad when you hit the judgment seat of Christ. I bet you won't be up there then saying, well, that preacher, he was just too hard. He was just too loud. I just understand. Why do you have to be so straight? Because I'm not like you. I'm not crooked as a dog's hind leg. Some of you are so crooked you can fall in a pile of coat hangers and come out on the other side. You can fall in a barrel of fish hooks and wouldn't even get scathed. You have to twist your socks on you if you die right now. You're so crooked. Put you in the coffin and spin your socks on you. You're just crooked as you can be. You just slick. You're just constantly just conniving and working your con game all the time. You're crooked. You want how I know? You're always talking about truth, 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 truth. You're a liar. You're crooked. Your speech betrays you. Jeremiah chapter 23. I know we got baby dedication. We got a half a dozen or more people joining the church today. Can you believe people would join a church like this? They might be second guessing that right now. No, preacher, I withdraw my membership before I'm a member. Verse 23, chapter 23, verse 1. Woe unto the pastor to destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the pastors feed my flock. You've scattered my flock. He says, I'll visit upon you the evil of your doings. Let me just show you a couple of things if I could, please. Just a couple of real quick things. Look down in verse number 11. The prophet and the priest are profane. In my house have they found their wickedness. Amen, preacher. That's right. Preachers are the problem today. Okay, all right. Just hang on just a second now. Verse 14 or 13. I've seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, caused my people Israel to err. I've seen the prophets of Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery. Walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They're not going to preach on sin. They're dumb dogs. They don't bark. Isaiah 56 tells you, verse number 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. Make you vain? Yeah, telling you you're a good person and everything's great and everything's wonderful and you're going to be fine and God loves you just like you are. Just keep living like the devil. Let him in, Brother Brian. I'm going to be a minute. Verse 17, the Bible says that they speak the visions of their own heart, verse 16, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me. Shh. Watch it. The Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of the Lord, no evil shall come upon you. God's not going to blister your britches. God's not going to whip you. God's not going to chastise you. I mean, after all, you can't sin. You're a regenerated creature. Everything's wonderful and fine and marvelous and... He says, God's telling you that no evil's going to come on you. Who's sending the evil? God's sending the evil. Why is God sending the evil? Can I tell you? Brother Monroe, help him have them people sit. You know why he's sending them evil? Because they stepped out of bounds. You know what I'll tell you? I'll tell you, as a saved individual, or as a saved individual, are you hearing me? As a saved individual, God will dust your britches. You keep on doing what you're doing, he'll take out words to you first, and then he'll give you a whipping, and then he'll kill you if you keep on fooling around. God ain't gonna kill me. Keep on with your foolishness and head bobbing and watch and see if he don't. He might even make you do like David and live with the results of your sin for a while. I'll make some room for all these people coming in here. Notice what he says this. Come down a little bit further. Verse number 22. 22, 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken unto them. They're self-proclaimed preachers and teachers and that kind of things. God didn't send them. You can tell by how they talk, God didn't send them. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. The preacher's supposed to tell you when you're doing wrong. Modern preacher don't tell you nothing about doing wrong. It's all subjective. It's all, well, nobody can say for sure stuff. The Bible can. The Bible can say for sure. Well, preacher, you can't reach people that way. What makes you think that the whole mission of the church is to reach people? Could you tell me that? Where'd you get that? You get that out of a Southern Baptist college? You get that out of the Roman Catholic Church? What did you get that out of? That your job is to reach people. Where'd you get that? You're an ambassador for Christ. You're supposed to be a minister of reconciliation. What made you think that people are the center focus of the church? God's the center focus of the church. It never was about you. Me and you don't matter. What do you mean I don't matter? I mean you don't matter. I mean I don't matter. God can get done what He needs to get done without me or you. God gives you the privilege of getting in on what He's going to do. And if you don't want to get in on it, He'll check you off the list and go find somebody else. You are smaller than a piece of dust on a grain of sand on the timeline of eternity. You are not that important. In spite of what the world's trying to teach you, that you're the center of the universe. He's the center of the universe. And you come to church, it's supposed to be about Him. It ain't supposed to be about you. There's a passage in the Bible that escapes me right now, but it says that the Lord said He'll not share His glory with anybody. Well, how come you're trying to steal it all the time? Well, I just believe He was preaching right at me. Well, how come that is? You stealing His glory because you're so much out of fellowship, God has to pull over and spend all this time talking to you because you won't get right over it? You older folks, you've heard this stuff before. Preachers used to preach it no matter what church you went to. Not anymore. Well, preacher, you know, they quit preaching it because it was wrong. You mean you finally beat them down? You mean you finally starved them out? You mean you finally quit giving so that you can make sure that they have to sleep on a clothesline and eat air for supper? Is that what you're saying? That they quit because it wasn't right? Or they quit because you starved them to death? Or because you mocked them and belittled them and made fun of them? Because you didn't hold up their hands and you didn't help them, you didn't encourage them. You just encouraged them when they preach a message on love. And you go, well, preacher, that was pretty good, you know, but you can't be preaching that all the time. Appreciate the encouragement. I got the message. What are you going to do next week? I'll preach the same thing again.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, well, you're just being obstinate. You're just being... No, you're now accusing me of what you're guilty of. You're saying, I either bend to your will, or if I do it, what you're doing, I'm out of the will of God. The Christian's fault. The pastor's fault. Because you know so much about what God would have preached that you have the ability to say, now, pastor, I just don't believe that's what God would have said. You haven't read your Bible, have you? You ever look at the messages God preached? Probably not. Why would you trust me at all to tell you anything if you hadn't read your Bible? He put the answers to the book in there and right in front of you. You can read it and you can check everything I'm saying. You can check every bit of it. Don't call me a liar unless you've read the book and you can show me where I'm a liar according to the book. But you're not going to study it. You're not going to read it. You're just going to gripe about it, and then you're going to get out. And I'll see you at the judgment seat. What'll be, will be.